for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, April the 4th, 1985, first service of the Passover weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the speaker of the evening.
It's a good privilege to be here tonight. We always enjoy coming and being in service here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I find God's people are about alike wherever you run into them. I've preached virtually all over the world. God's real everywhere. He's real everywhere. Have a word from the Lord for this people tonight. This is a prophetic word. And the Lord would say, "Hear, O house of the Lord. And the Lord thou God will speak a word of wisdom to you, that you'll do well if you'll remember and put into practice, saith the Lord. Yea, thou shalt not expect. It would be foolish. It would be an error, saith the Lord, to expect that things will continue as they are. For indeed they shall not, saith the Lord. So thou shalt not program thy life as if tomorrow would be like today, and like tomorrow would be like the next day, for it shall not be that way, saith the Lord. Yea, for thou shalt program thy life as if tomorrow the Lord would draw thee nearer, yea, into His Shekinah glory, and the Lord would draw thee nearer to the reigning in His blessed kingdom. And if thou shalt program thy life, or allow the Lord to program thy life to meet this pace, you shall be a happy people. Yea, and you shall be a prosperous people, for the Lord thou God shall cause thee to prosper in all of thy ways. Yea, and He shall lead thee on. Thou shalt go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. And everybody that belongs to Zion will appear before God, saith the Lord. Yea, know that this shall be a sign that the Lord doth speak the truth unto His people. Yea, as you look at the natural things that are happening, and thou shalt see that chaos, yea, know that darkness fills the earth, and a gross darkness of people, that is an artificial darkness. But the Lord doth say unto thee that in the midst of this thy light hath come. Thou shalt arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord shall be upon thee. Thou shalt be my people, and my people shall do exploits. Yea, shall come forth with a great ministry of deliverance, with a great ministry of help. Yea, and many shall meet the Lord, as it were, face to face. Yea, and many shall come to know the Lord that at this point only know of the Lord. It shall be because of the obedience of mine elect, saith the Lord thou God. So therefore, do not be negligent, yea, but be diligent. For it is not a day, yea, to grow careless, but it is a day to walk carefully, softly, if you please, saith the Lord. Yea, it is a day of pressing, yea, pressing into the kingdom, yea, pressing into and pressing your nature, pressing your subconscious, yea, to execute the principles of my kingdom, saith the Lord thou God. And in so doing thou shalt live, yea, and not die. Thou shalt have life, and that life shall be abundant, saith the Lord. Yea, for I have chosen thee out of the many. Yea, not for any reason specifically that could be seen by the natural eye or could be understood by the intellect.
Yea, but it is the choosing of God, and it is my doing, saith the Lord. Yea, and therefore no man shall take this lofty calling unto himself. I accept that he be called of God. Yea, for yours is a lofty calling indeed, saith the Lord. And I shall bring thee, yea, to a lofty realm in the Spirit. Yea, and thou shalt minister one to another. Yea, and thou shalt minister to those that have not received the revelation that has been given unto thee. For know, my people, until it pleases your God to open the eyes of the blind, they shall remain blind. Yea, until the Lord thou God doth say, see, none shall see. Until the Lord thou God doth say, come, none shall come. Yea, but know that it is a day that my invitation, is being renewed, strengthened, and given again and again. I am calling unto the masses to come. Yea, for the table of the Lord is set. Yea, know that I shall prepare a table before thee in the presence of thine enemy. I will anoint your head with fresh oil, and I'll run your cup over. Yea, and I'll give you good things, saith the Lord thou God. For hast thou not read, yea, in the Scriptures, that the Lord thou God will withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before him? It is the Lord thy God that speaks unto thee this night, yea, through the vessel of clay. Yea, and thou wilt do well indeed if thou shalt heed and begin to execute with zeal the words that the Lord doth speak unto thee. Not only this night, yea, but for all of this meeting that the Lord hath gathered together this people. Yea, some shall go and others will come. Yea, but all will be filled, yea, with the presence of God, and all will be stricken with an awe of amazement at the bigness and the goodness of their God. Yea, for I have gathered my people together unto me. They shall come, saith the Lord. They shall be blessed, and then shall they return to their dwelling places where they abide from state to state, from community to community. Yea, and this ministry of this convention shall not be confined to the walls, yea, of this campground, to the perimeters of borders, yea, but it shall spread throughout the nation, throughout the states, yea, and many shall know that the goodness of the Lord hath gone forth in the land of the living, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I bless your great name now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us, Lord, to open our hearts, my Lord and our God, that we might be the recipients of the grace of God that thou desirest to pour out upon us at this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the wonderful name of Jesus. I thank you now. I bless you now. Lord, I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven and from the portals of the throne on high. I invoke the choicest blessings for this people, for this weekend of revival, convention, camp meeting service, or whatever the correct term may be, O Lord. I take the privilege and the authority to invoke the choicest blessings of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, great God. Oh, praise the Lord. I invoke the choicest blessings of heaven upon Brother and Sister Miller and the staff and the local congregation here. Mine, may the Shekinah glory of God hover over this camp after the meeting has gone. Hallelujah. Amen. And many deliverances will be wrought. I read my text. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Verse 11, and if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, we're heirs, heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, hear me good now. The earnest expectation, hallelujah, of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature itself was made subject to bondage, not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope. For the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves. We're awaiting the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What man yet hopeth for that which he has? But if you hope for that which you have not, then do you with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth my heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. That's sonship. That's kingdom preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, that's predestination, Brother Jack. Don't tell us about predestination. How about them whosoever will? And I said, well, them predestination is them whosoever will that did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I'm going to get into a message here. I'm going to the Song of Solomon and get a text here. But everything, the Romans 8 that I just quoted from, pretty well wraps up everything, doesn't it? It is really the classic of the Apostle Paul's writings and of the that the Holy Ghost gave. In the third chapter of the Song of Solomon, and here we have a question in verse 6. And I propose to answer this question tonight in a few minutes. We have just read that the whole creation is waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Now, let's read from our text here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchants? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 violent men are about it, of the violent of Israel. And all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. Well, all right, I don't want to enlarge on this. The natural meaning here is obvious. But just in case it's not that obvious, I'll expound the natural meaning a little bit. I am interested with the spiritual aspect here. If you try to understand all the things that I will say through the intellect, you'll miss me, because I'm going to be ministering to the spirit realm and to your spirit. And it will call upon you to bypass the intellect and receive with the spirit. Receive the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Word with the Spirit. I give you the natural meaning, however. It is obvious that he's talking about Solomon here in verse 7. Before I do that, let me contrast this with the 8th chapter. And we have almost the same statement. These are two different things altogether. In the 8th chapter, in the 5th verse, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Everything's coming out of the wilderness, but this is not the same company as is coming up in the 3rd verse. But we'll read here, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? And that's as far as I need to read here, because this gets our point. You see the difference here, that in the 8th chapter and the 3rd verse, it is feminine that is coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon the arms, or leaning upon her beloved. She is easy recognizable. Now let's go back to our text and see that this is not the same incident. This is a different company that's coming up out of the wilderness, and this company is masculine. I do not hesitate to identify this company as the sons of God, that elect. Overcomers, if you like overcomers better. Elect, if you like that better. But whatever term you like the best, I like sons of God because the Bible uses that term. And I don't have any problem with it. And the whole creation is waiting for this company to come up out of the wilderness. Hallelujah. You see, ours is kind of a paradox. It's kind of a dilemma in a way. We are a kingdom, in a kingdom. Our kingdom is not of this world. We are kings and priests, Revelations chapter 1 and 5, 10 and 5, 1 and 5, yeah. We are kings and priests unto our God. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. Now, the world does not recognize our position. Christianity, so-called. The church world, let me rephrase. The church world does not recognize our position. Because we're not kings and priests unto this society. We're kings and priests unto our God. Oh, and let us never forget whose priests we are. In dealing, a priest deals with the people, and then he deals with God. And in dealing with the people, let us never forget where our loyalty lies, whose priest we are. The Bible said of Jesus that he was a merciful and faithful high priest unto God. He was merciful to the people, but he had to always remember and be faithful to God, because that's whose high priest he is. See, if you can go overboard with mercy. Well, you will want to think about that a minute, and that's all right. I want you to think about it a minute. Hallelujah. But if you get, I'll tell you, let me just give some counseling here as I teach and preach, as I always do. Don't get too need conscious. Don't get too overboard in the mercy aspect. Because if we get too overboard in these aspects, we will forget whose priest we are. You see, there are a lot of things. I'm real easygoing by nature, and I love people, and I like to let them get by with everything that possibly can. And I would like to, when somebody has just really blundered and throwed the ball over the fence and turned the cows out, I'd like to just say, forget it. That's how merciful I might be in my personality, but I can't do that because I have to remember whose priest I am. I have to remember where my loyalty lies and where my authority comes from. And so I cannot just excuse it because I would like to. Yeah. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. And boy, I mean, you will. He could have said, you'll have the rebellious with you always, too. And he would have been right. I kind of wish he would have said that next. We could have run it all through at one time. But I'm simply saying, it's good. You have to be merciful. We have to have compassion, but it has to be balanced. It's better, don't be led by these things. It's better to be Spirit-led, to be led by God's Spirit, than it is to be led by compassion that has been evoked in you by what you have seen with your eyes. Because what you see with your eyes is only temporal anyhow, and it's sure to change. Man's wealthy one day and a pauper the next. He's a pauper one day and wealthy the next. But whatever his situation is, it will change. That's one of the most sure things in the world. All right? I said that I would identify this person. Of course, we said the natural meaning is it's Solomon's. All right? Now, let's get there. Behold his bed. In the seventh verse, this speaks of a rest. It is to a people that have found the rest. And it speaks of 70 valiant of Israel, overcomers. It talks about overcomers. And it says they all hold swords, and they're all expert in war. That is, in spiritual warfare. And their sword is the Word of God, and the Spirit of God. And they're coming up out of this wilderness. And they, as they come up, they are perfumed with myrrh, frankincense, with all powders of the merchants. But notice what these first signs are. They are pillars of smoke coming with them. And if I take time, I may not preach that far. I never finish a message. I just preach till everybody gets tired, and then I quit. And I can tie right on to it another time and just keep going. Boy, is that... But, all right, let's look then. I'm saying, now, whether you agree with me or not, I'm saying that we are in a wilderness experience. even though we're the kingdom of God. God's kingdom was in the wilderness with Israel. They were His chosen people, but they were in the wilderness. If anyone wants to object to my statement that we are a wilderness people, then I challenge you to show us something that we have in the Spirit that Israel didn't witness in the natural, in types and shadows, as types and shadows, that we have now. And you will probably be at a loss to do that. So we must conclude then that we are in a wilderness now. There is chaos on every hand. There's a great shaking going on. And everything is being shaken that can be shaken. And it is only so that that which can't be shaken will be stabilized. And help us, Lord, to the overcomers will I make to be a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. Now, we have seen, I came up through, as Brother telling you, I came up through all the ranks of the Old Order of Pentecost, as old order as you can get. I learned all of their teachings. And I came then into latter rain and then into the kingdom message and sonship. And believe me, I'm glad. I don't criticize any of them, and I don't speak in a derogatory sense toward any of them. I believe it was all needful. It was all useful. Nobody, when we were doing that, nobody knew anything about latter rain. Nobody knew anything about sons of God. Nobody knew anything about the elect. Nobody knew anything about divine order. No. But you believe that there are a lot of new terminology has entered into to the move of God in the last 20 years. It hasn't been more than 20 years ago that I heard my first divine order. I heard that term. I heard divine government, divine placement, church order. And these things came into being. Frankly, we couldn't back beyond that. We just simply couldn't have stood anything that wasn't 1, 2, 3. Sometimes, you know, God does it 3, 2, 1. But we want to do it always 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, first you got to, I believe it was a 2 weeks revival one time for a fellow way back yonder. And it was a little bit of difference in our doctrinal background, but he didn't know it and I didn't tell him. And he just asked me to preach, and I agreed, and I had come to preach. And they believed in getting saved, 1, sanctified, 2, and receiving the baptism, 3. 1, 2, 3. Well, one night there, I didn't know, I thought I knew what he believed, but I wasn't too interested in, you know, his 1, 2, 3, and God didn't seem to be too interested in it. And so God just poured out the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. and I don't know, it was a congregation about this size that night. And we never did get an accurate count, but as near as we could come up with, about 25 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And right in the midst of all of that, somebody slipped him the word that I was wasn't one of them. And they the first one or two that came, they got down to the altars. You know, they used to come down and carry and stuff. They got down to the altars, and from there on, nobody could get to the altar. And from the very back corner, back there where Irma is, in the building, one teenage boy, 17, 18 years old, got up to come and he began to speak in tongues before he could get out from between the pews. And that feller, and I've got one here that, you know, at least I want to get to lay hands on one of them. I mean, I've got a doctrine too, you know. And he eased over to me, patted my shoulder and said, "Brother," said, "how are you baptized?" Well, I knew what he wanted. And he wanted to know if I was baptized in, you know, Trinity baptism or oneness baptism. And then he said, I told him, you know, because I knew, yeah, I mean, that's the only way to get rid of them. And was having such a glorious time. They're still getting filled. And he said, now, this ain't right. He said, it's got to be 1, 2, 3. And I said, well, God didn't know that, so tonight he's doing it 3, 2, 1. Now, let it go. Hallelujah. He's just filling them from scratch. And filled them with the Holy Ghost. First time they spoke in tongues. And today, some of them, that's been more years than I care to recall. It's, to make a guess, I'd guess 25 years. And that might be even go back further than that. But some of them that got the Holy Ghost that night are preaching the gospel today. And a lot of them still is going on with the Lord. So they got it even though they didn't do it according to His system. So God can, there's one thing about God, He can do anything He wants to. Amen. Somebody says, well, it won't be godly. It will if God does it. Amen. And if you say it's not right, I say it's right if God does it. Amen. Just by virtue of the reason that God did it, makes it all right, doesn't it? All right, so we got these folks coming up out of the wilderness. Now, what I'm about to say, in essence, in case you don't know what I was ever aiming at, I'll just tell you now, that there is a group in the wilderness that is hungering and thirsting to apprehend what they were apprehended for. And God is training us while we're in this coming through life here, this wilderness life. He's giving it to us line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And there's going to be an unveiling of this great company, and we're going to come up out of this wilderness chaos that the church world is in today. God's going to bring a first fruits company through that in the power of deliverance. You talk about deliverance, and I know that we're big on deliverance here, and I say that in all respect, and I'm big on deliverance too. But you talk about a deliverance ministry. Well, we haven't seen anything yet, to coin a well-used phrase. We haven't seen anything yet. You wait until God brings up. All right, so they're coming up here out of the wilderness. Now let's we said that it spoke of rest in Hebrews 4:10. If you want to make notes, won't turn over there. But God says there remaineth a rest for the children of God. And there remains the fact that some must enter into that blessed rest. I'm not talking about a rest from being tired. I'm talking about a rest that's filled with glory, and that's filled with power, and that's filled with expectancy, and that's filled with energy. Hallelujah. All right, now, let's turn, with that thought in mind, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll get right into some of the goodies of this message and see, we'll get in some of the mechanics of it and see how God's going to do this. All right, in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, in verse 2, and thou shalt remember the Lord speaking to Israel through Moses, and he says to them, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, or bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And this is a scripture that our blessed Lord and Savior used against Satan when Satan came to tempt him on that memorial day. when he withstood the devil, hallelujah, and caused him to flee back into the wilderness, and then the angels came to minister to him. And he quoted this very passage to him, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, that God's people would learn this throughout the land, that we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Boy, that's quite an order. I'll tell you, we got a lot of cafeteria Christians. You know what a cafeteria Christian is, don't you? You know, when you go through a cafeteria, you look at everything there and you say, now, I don't want none of that, but I'll take some of this. And let's see. No, I don't like that. No, I don't like that. Give me some of this. Hallelujah. And you go through that picking out what you like, and you discard that you don't like. Now, that's the way a cafeteria Christian does the Bible. But the Bible said that you don't live by bread alone, but you live by every word. Amen. Every word. Every word. Now, I'll tell you, that's the way the sons of God are going to have to live before there's ever... There's never going to be any first fruits, except that somebody can mature in the Spirit of God. Except that somebody can stand in the fullness of Him that is old, the head of all things. Except that we can stand in His blessed image and in His blessed likeness. I declare unto you that there will be no first fruits. And without a first fruits, there will be no harvest. Don't despair, because God's going to bring it about one way or another. Hallelujah. Amen. So he brought them in there. He caused them to hunger. Why did he cause them to hunger? So he could feed them on manna. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Hallelujah. Amen. This manna. All right. So he caused them to eat manna. And they didn't particularly like the manna, did they? They had three or four complaints against it, to say the least. One complaint, in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 14, it came too early. It was, you know, early in the morning, and when the dew would go away, there lay the manna. It came early. That tells me, what does that tell me? What's the manna the type of? Type of the Word, isn't it? When's a good time to study the Word? Early of the morning. You know, I've had some precious moments alone with God, just the Word here, and I have been given to little sleep. When I was a younger man, and even now, 3 or 4 hours, 24 is enough. You know, I can do pretty good on it. But when I was a younger man, I could stay vigorous with about 3 hours sleep. And I used that, and God gave me a hungering for this Word. I mean a real hungering. And I know you have been reading some kind of a fiction book or something, and it was just so interesting you just couldn't put it down. Has anybody ever had that experience? Lord forgive the rest of them, it won't hold up their hand. Yeah. All right. And that's the way the Bible was to me. I'd be reading it, and I'd hate for my wife to call me to come to a meal. I just hate to lay it down that long. I'd go to bed some nights at 9 o'clock, and by 10:30 it was obvious I wasn't going to sleep, so I'd get up and go out in my study and stay till 3 hours in the morning. But I had some mighty good times with the Lord in those days. I don't do that as often now. It's not that I'm sleepy, it's that I just don't have the vigor for it or something. And I often say that when I had problems, well, I'd go out there along about 3 o'clock in the morning. I always said, boy, I can really get a hold of God about 3 o'clock in the morning here at Bagville, you know, in this in my study here. Just everything's quiet. Trucks, they done quit going up and down the highways, and everybody's in bed. All the lights are out, you know. And I get right through to God. And I always said, well, I guess there's just not many people talking to him from Backville at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I get right through. All right, It came too early. That tells us sons of God can't be lazy. Hallelujah. You got to be energetic. You know, you got to go up and down the land. And not just for the sake of going up and down the land, but have a message. Publish glad tidings. Have beautiful feet. Hallelujah. How beautiful are the feet? 13 days. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of them that publisheth glad tidings. Yeah. So you have beautiful feet. All right. The second gripe they had was it wouldn't last long. You had to do some of it every day. If you didn't get some more, you'd run out. Isn't that kind of the way the word is? I got to reading this word, and one reason it became not so much as much fun to read it, because I could be reading it in chapter 3, and I'm already over in chapter 4, and it don't coordinate good. And so I just, you know, but I still read it a lot. It's everything that it says it is. Hallelujah. It's where our strength comes from. All right. In the 11th chapter of Numbers, verses 6 and 8. Now you look at this. They bring another gripe against it. And I show you here in Numbers chapter 11, verses did I say chapter 11, verse 6 to 8? But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Manna is all we can see, he said. And the manna was as corundus seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals, beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, made cakes of it, tasted fresh oil. It tasted the same no matter how you prepared it.
Some of you cooks know how many ways you can cook an egg. I mean, you can make it lose its identity in looks, and you can make it lose its identity in taste. You can cook it so many ways. But they tried this. Let's see what they do to it. They ground it in meals, whatever that is. They ground it up and tried it that way. Then they beat it in a mortar. Made a batter out of it and tried it that way. And then they baked it in pans, tried it that way. They made cakes, but it always tasted the same. That's because it was a type of the Word of God. The Word of God never changes. It's always the same. You remember Jonah gets the Word of the Lord in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Go to Nineveh and cry out against that exceeding great city of Nineveh. Jonah is given the command, but he goes a different direction. You remember the story? You can turn over there if you want to, and refresh your memory. He goes the wrong way, and then, to make the long story a little shorter, in his rebellion, he gets swallowed up in the belly of a whale, or fish. The Bible says fish. I don't want to get no argument with the book here. He got a fish swallowed him. Hallelujah. Amen. And in the belly of the big fish, or in hell, the Bible says, that he cried. And boy, the bars compassed him about, that is the ribs of that whale. And Jonah was praying. You remember when Solomon prayed and he said, Lord, if your people in rebellion drift away from you and worship false gods, and in rebellion you turn away from them, if they turn their face toward this temple and pray, will you hear? Well, while Jonah was praying in the depth of the belly of the whale, that old whale was doing flip-flops, and he finally flipped over and got Jonah to facing toward the temple. And Jonah was so pouring out and praying, and God heard him and caused that whale to skid out on the beach. Hallelujah. And there he vomited up Jonah. And so now what are we in now? We're in the second chapter, aren't we? In verse 1. And he comes, he spits him out. And then, is it verse 2? And the word of the Lord, or maybe verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And what would you know? It's the same as it was the first time. Hallelujah. It's like that manna. That manna was always the same, no matter how you stirred it or scrambled it or tried to get it to taste some other way. It always was the same thing. That's the way the Word of God is. No matter how you try to scramble it, rearrange it, hallelujah, hide it, mar its image. Oh, blessed God, tonight it always means the same thing. Hallelujah. They cried, alright, in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15, they couldn't understand it. Huh. That's a familiar one, isn't it? They couldn't understand the manna. See, you hear people say, I read the Bible, but I just can't understand it. Well, if you try to understand it with your intellect, it has a natural meaning, all right. And most people can get that. But if you go beyond that, you have to be... It's because they drank milk and can't eat no strong meat. As long as you are on a milk diet, all you can see in the Word is what's natural, what's obvious. But when you get into the meat-eating realm, you see the spiritual side of it and the spiritual aspect. All right, they were in the wilderness. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2 and look at the wilderness that they endured and that they conquered. They conquered it by reason of coming through it. In chapter 2 of Jeremiah and verse 6, they describe this. They found this wilderness testing so severe as to use these strong terms in describing it. Beginning with verse 6 in chapter 2. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness to a land of deserts and of pits, to a land of drought and of the shadow of death, to a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat. All right, now, look how he describes that. He led us through the wilderness, verse 6. It was a land of deserts. Yeah. A land of deserts and of pits. A lot of pitfalls. A land of drought. All of these you consider in the spirit when you think of our journey through the wilderness. And the shadow of death. Psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm saying this company had been in the wilderness, but we're coming out of the wilderness. See, Isaiah projects us coming out. The wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them. And the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, and say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And the highway shall be there, and the way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God forever. Turn the wilderness into a garden. Hallelujah. And the deserts and the parched ground into a pool. Hallelujah. And there comes your deliverance. The blind eyes will fly open. The deaf ears will be unstopped. The lame man will leap like an hart. Hallelujah. And the tongue of the dumb shall break into singing. Hallelujah.
And Zion is born. The sons have been unveiled. It is a manifestation of the blessed sons of God, and the kingdom of God has come. An old age has died, and a new age is born. And thus begins the greatest, hallelujah, thus begins the dispensation of the greatest correction period that the world has ever known or ever shall know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We won't quit policing it until we beat every war machine into agricultural tools. Hallelujah. Until the lamb lays with the lion, and the lion eats straw like an ox. Hallelujah. And men will learn war no more. Hallelujah. Amen. And a child will die at 100 years old. Hallelujah. Until, that's in the early years of the dispensation as years go against 1,000. But I'll tell you, hallelujah, when we get to the far end, we will abolish death completely. Hallelujah. The last enemy will be put under our feet. Hallelujah. Amen. And then, blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. And then we'll come to that great wedding supper. Oh, blessed be God. Hallelujah. And all that are invited will come to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the wedding is consummated, the Spirit will say, and the bride will say, come. And the blessed sons of God will march out to the city gates and swing them open, never to be closed again. I'm talking about spiritual Jerusalem now. If you try to hitch on to me with the intellect, you'll miss it. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. Oh, and a nation shall be born in a day. Hallelujah. I preached for a long time. I used to preach, as I've already told you, revival, salvation for decisions. Got a lot of people, scared a lot of people to God. Scared a lot of them to Him, talked a lot of them into it, and just made it sound so good they couldn't refuse it. Some of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Jack, could you preach salvation message? And I said, I'd preach them so good and made the sinner shout. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'll tell you, and I often use this term, the Spirit says come and the bride says come. Little did I know. And God blessed it, but I didn't know. God knows I didn't know. Hallelujah. I didn't know that the bride had never uttered her voice. Hallelujah. Amen. For she was by far too immature to give the invitation to come. But I didn't know it. Hallelujah. Amen. But I await that glad day when she will give that invitation. And she'll say, come. Hallelujah. And bold indeed will be the man that dares to reject that invitation. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I'm talking about, what are you preaching? Deliverance. Hallelujah. What? Kingdom of God. What? Sonship. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Somebody said that's, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. That's what it is. Whatever you think it is, that's what it is and more. Listen, when they passed through this land of drought, listen to David. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, he is confiding. David is type of the sons of God. It's interesting to follow his life, his steps. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. You know what that means? Hinds belongs to the deer family. But he's not just any deer. He's a sure-footed deer. Tell you about, I know about horses. Yeah, I was raised with them. Yeah, my dad used to put me on a horse to ride him before I was big enough to get on one. Before I was big enough to climb on one. And when I was big enough to reach up here and grab the stirrup, I used to climb up and ride. You'd be hard pressed to find anybody that's rode a horse further than I have. And I hadn't ridden one in a lot of years now, but in my early years, I rode every day. And
and did lots of riding. We trained a lot of horses. Now, if you want a horse to look good, if you want a good-looking horse, get you a thoroughbred. Get you a quarter horse. You know, a quarter horse, he walks proud, and he's slick. When he's fat, he's slick, and his hair glistens. He'll, you can train him to hold a bow in his neck. You can train him to lift his front feet, prance, And boy, he's pretty. But if you're going in the mountains, you don't want him. You know why you don't want him? Because if you think you want him, you just run him down the sand road a little piece, 100 yards, and then get down and look at his track and see what he done. You know what he did? When he puts his front foot down here, and he brings his hind foot forward, this right hind foot forward, he puts it down anywhere from 12 to 18 inches ahead of this other one, where he put his front foot. You know what that does to him? It makes him clumsy, because he can't see where he's landing his back foot. So what do you want to do if you're going into the mountains? You want to get a donkey. Yeah, he's ugly. He's got them old long ears, and he'll almost always be poor, no matter how well you take care of him. His hair's always rough, never slick, never glistening. But there's one thing about that donkey. He watches where he puts his front foot, and then he don't have to worry about his back foot, because his back foot steps in that same track. And that makes him sure-footed. And that's what the psalmist was saying when he said, "He maketh my feet like hind's feet." This little deer tracks. And when I say track, I mean his hind foot hits in the track that his front foot made. So all he has to do is look. He can see where he's putting his front foot, but he can't see where he's putting his back. But he knows, because it's the way he is, that where he puts his front foot, he's also going to put his back foot. So he's not going to step in a short place with his front foot, and then about time you think you've made another step up the mountain, he brings his hind foot forward and it hits a rolling pebble. And when he puts his weight on it, you slide back a couple of steps. That's what would happen with a quarter horse. But with the donkey, he can. And the last, you remember the last place that David stopped in his quest for the kingdom, and was in Judah, the mountain of wild goats. Hallelujah. He had ascended the mountain of the artesian fountains, sure-footed, no longer hesitating. He's a pillar in the temple of his God. He goes no more out. You know, for a while we may be wishy-washy, in and out, undecided and half-decided, but once you're placed as a pillar, you go no more out. Hallelujah, no more out. So that we're coming up out of the wilderness now. David was said he's going to make a confession to his friend Jonathan here in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. He's making a confession to his friend Jonathan, and he says, "As surely as the Lord lives, there's just one step between me and death." Now, isn't it amazing to find this man whom God has delivered so many times? God has given such complete victory so many times. The women have sang about his renowned soldiering, and the warrior killed 10,000 compared to Saul's one. But in the back of his mind, in that subconscious, I guess it was, lurked a fear that one day he would no longer be able to elude his arch enemy, Saul. And he says, "As sure as God lives, it's just a step between me and death." He died at the hands of Saul. In the wilderness journey here, Jesus, in the fourth chapter of St. Matthew, he spends 40 days in the wilderness preparing for his ministry. And the servant is not above his master. If Jesus had to go into the wilderness, we have to go into the wilderness. "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself." That's the first principle, following God. Is self-denial. Nobody wants to do that. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to be submissive. It's an amazing thing to me that the sons of God, and we taught submission, we taught it all in our seminaries and convention. We taught submission. And the most spiritual people, hallelujah. Just let me make a statement. You're not going to like this, and you're going to have to think about it a minute.
But when you think about it a minute, if you still don't believe it, you just have to live a little longer and you will believe it. In a local church, the most spiritual people are the ones that gives the authority, the ministry and authority, gets the most trouble from the most spiritual people in the church. I said you'd have to think about that a minute. That's the truth. I learned that by observation and by experience. The ones that seem the most spiritual actually will be the ones that will give you the most, create the most problems. If you haven't noticed that, you can start watching it now, and you will see that. You tell me and I'll say, I told you so. What is that saying of all the words of, I forget now, but I told you so is the worst of them anyhow. Hallelujah. That's right. There's a reason for that. It's because they are programmed to do more things, and they have a nature. It has dawned on you that somebody says, well, I'm a new creature in Christ. Well, you're probably becoming a new creature in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Old things have not passed away, and old things haven't become new. Some old things have passed away, and some things have become new. But I dare say that there's nobody here that can't find a little bit of old Jack. That's me. For me. That can't find a little bit of him still around. I find a little bit of him around every once in a while. But there's one thing about the old man. If you think you can train him to walk according to the oracles of God and to be spiritual, well, you can forget that. Forget it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can forget training him. There's just one solution for this old man. All right, let me tell you something. You keep him subdued. Now, you can get real spiritual, stay real prayed up, and stay in the Word, and keep your mind on God, and you can control him. You're just keeping him subdued. By the Spirit of God's keeping him subdued. But you keep him there for 10 years and don't let him lift his head a time. And then after 10 years, you just quit whatever it is that has been so successful to keep him under. You just quit doing that and let him raise up again. And I'll guarantee you one thing, that he hadn't learned a bit of manners. That 10 years that you kept him subdued didn't learn him nothing. He's just as vile as he was the last time he acted up. Alright? So, if that is true, and we know that it is, then there is just one answer. What is the answer? He has to be crucified. He has to be put to death. Oh, I'll tell you, nobody wants to go the way of the cross. That's why that there's some religions that are so popular today. You don't have to come to the cross. And I always knew if somebody could present one that took the cross out, men would flock to it from everywhere. They take out the cross. But I'll tell you, it's a cross that does the work. Yes. If you can come to the cross, now the cross will do a quick work. You remember when Jesus got to the cross and he said, oh, if it be possible, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. And he said, to this hour came I into the world. If I be lifted up from the world, I'll draw all men to me. Now, Jesus, he rebelled at the cross. That is, everything that was kin to humanity didn't want to go to the cross. But that was God-like in him overcame, and he went to the cross. And then you remember it was about sundown, and they had to get him down off the cross dead before the sun went down because the Sabbath would begin. So they went to break their legs. To find the two thieves that hung on either side of him alive, and they broke their legs. But when they came to Jesus, what happened? He was already dead. Thus signifying that when you come to the cross, God does a quick work on the other side of the cross. Hallelujah. He does a quick work on the other side of the cross. But the enemy will never show you that side. He shows you only the one side. Hallelujah. And so, that's how we're coming up out of the wilderness. We're coming to the cross, and God's going to do a quick work. Let me close. Give me about 10 more minutes, and I'll close here. But let's go to Ezekiel, chapter 20.
And I've got to get this or I don't have really a message here. In chapter 20 of Ezekiel, and let's go to verse 35. Well, we'll begin with verse 34. I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness, God says, of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. Now here it is. I will cause you to pass under the rod. He's bringing you into the wilderness to cause you to pass under the rod. What's that mean? That means that He's bringing us into the wilderness. We're supposed to be corrected, chastened, disciplined, brought into divine order and divine government. And He brought us into the wilderness to pass us under the rod. He's passing us under the rod in Leviticus chapter 27, if you want some notes. Chapter 27 and verse 32 says, whatsoever passeth under the rod shall be holy unto the Lord. He brought us into the wilderness to pass us under the rod, and whatever passes under the rod is holiness unto the Lord. He brought us into the wilderness to correct us, brought us into local bodies, and under ministry that would discipline us. And it's a wilderness experience, but He brings us under the rod of that disciplinary, authoritative ministry. And there, if we be disciplined and pass under the rod with discipline, we'll be holy unto the Lord. So the book says here. Hallelujah. In Proverbs chapter 22 and 15 says, foolishness it's bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. He's brought us in. That's why we're where we are now. We're passing under the rod. We're learning to submit. You have to learn submission. I do a teaching that I title Seven Levels of Submission. Seven Levels of Submission. And they are an ascension. The seven steps are ascension steps until we are submitting 100% totally submissive to all everything that the Bible says to submit to. We submit to them that have rule over us. We submit one to another. We submit to church. We have to be submissive. That's what He's got us here. And He's passing us under the rod. And we're in verse 37 of the 20th chapter of Ezekiel. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and if you do, you'll be holy unto the Lord. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. He's going to bring you into the bond of the covenant. That word bond means, my reference here says obligation of the agreement. But simply put, it means He's going to weld us. As one piece of metal is welded to another, He's going to weld us to that covenant. He's going to bring us into the bond of the covenant. You know how a covenant was made? If I may take a minute to explain here. When a covenant was made between two men, each one brought some kind of an animal, and they quartered it on the spot, cut it in four pieces, and they spread it out like from here. I stand here, and whoever I'm making a covenant with stands under. And we quarter our animal. I put one quarter here, one quarter over there where the young man is, the other quarter over here, and the other quarter here. And at the same time, he is doing his the same way, and he puts his fourth quarter where my fourth quarter is there, and mingles the blood together. Now this is a blood covenant. And then we began to We make our agreement, whatever the covenant is, whatever I'm agreeing to a covenant here. And this is what Abraham did when God made the covenant with Abraham. Abraham brought the sacrifices and laid them out. And then while he waited for God to appear, he got sleepy, you remember? But he had to keep the buzzards scared off. And he got sleepy and went to sleep. And when he woke up, God was walking the covenant out. and he seen just a smoking furnace and whatever it was he seen. But here's what happened. All right, now, we have made our covenant. I have promised that I'll do so-and-so if you will do so-and-so. So I began to walk. And I go in this direction. From my first quarter here, I walk over to this quarter. Now he has began his walk, and he's going that way. He's walked over to your briefcase. All right, now I'm going to our pieces that we have laid together here. And, no, he's coming this way. He's over where this little deal is. And as I go across here, I touch this sacrifice. This is the middle one here. Then I go to his third one, right here. Now, he's still going around that way. You see what's happening? What is happening? We're making a figure eight. You see it? You familiar with this? We're making a figure eight. Yeah. Stand up, Brother Glenn, and let's demonstrate here. All right, you see how I laid them out? I laid them out. One, two, three, four. You're standing at the one that you've just laid there. All right, I've got mine laid out this way. Now we begin our walk. We've made a covenant. And we're walking. And as we walk, we say, we're saying, God do so to me and more if I don't keep this covenant. You see here? We come on, pass me here. See? And you wind up over where I was to start with. Now I've come to your piece here. Now I've come back to your piece. That's figure eight. And we have made a covenant. It's a blood covenant. It's the strongest tie there is. We talk about blood brothers when we mean genealogy. It is better termed natural brothers. This is a stronger tie than natural brothers. Thank you, Brother Glenn. That's how they made a covenant. He says, and God has made a covenant with us. And he said, I'm going to bond you to that covenant. How does he bond us to that covenant? All right, as I walked that thing out, I said, God, if I break this covenant that I made with Brother Glenn, you do this. And what am I talking about when I say you do this? I'm talking about this four-quartered animal here. You four-quarter me or do worse than that if I break this covenant. That's what I'm saying. That's a strong covenant, isn't it? I wanted to be careful not to break that, wouldn't it? All right, then when you get bonded to that covenant, what happens? Verse 38. I will purge out from among you the rebels. Oh, boy. I was preaching in Fort Worth, and this lady told me, Brother, you was there, Brother Miller. She said, you see me this morning, Brother Jackson, my arthritis got hurting so bad, I just had to get up and leave. She said, I know you seen me. I said, yeah, I seen you. And you know what I said? I said, I made it too hot for her. Of course, I'm just joking with it. But, all right, I will purge out from among you the rebels. Boy, that's deliverance, yeah. He's going to purge out the rebels, them that won't have deliverance, them that won't be disciplined, them that just won't heed the word of God. He's going to purge them out. What does that mean? That means he's going to get rid of them. And I say, when he does, don't go beg them to come back. Hallelujah. If you do, you'd be doing yourself a dishonor in them too. It won't be good. If God does it, I'm not sure God's doing it. Don't do it yourself. You remember the fellow that wanted God, the garden owner, come by and said, this tree's cumbering up the ground 4 years, and 3 years hadn't brought forth nothing. Gardener said, let me give it a little special attention this year, and then if it don't bring forth you, he said, you take it out. We got to make sure we don't do any of this on our own. We've got to seek God and be obedient to God. And if we're submissive ourselves, if we're not submissive, we can't expect people to submit to us. If I come here and act like a rebel, I am a rebel. That's why I'm acting like one. I'm acting like what I am. If I come here and act like a rebel, I do it because I'm a rebel. When I come here, I'm in submission. Complete submission. I submit to Brother Miller and the ministry here. I submit to it as good as any Sunday school kid you'll ever see. I'll submit to whatever he says, I'll do it. Or I'll try to do it the entire time that I'm here and then apologize because people wasn't able to do it. He's not going to tell me to do anything I can't do. But I am submissive to him. Somebody said, I want to be an apostle. So I don't have to submit. Boy, you won't never be an apostle. Hallelujah. And there's no place in the economy of God where you don't have to submit. I think that the higher one rises in the lofty callings and offices of God, the more submissive he will become. I am submissive to my... Everybody directs my life or has a great bearing. Nothing hardly can happen anywhere in the body of Christ that it doesn't affect me. I can just stay in my office and answer my phone and get more than all of us can carry in a day's time. Just from that's happening all over the country. People are doing things that I can't believe it when I hear it. And my heart cries, every one of them. I take it on the heart as if it were a member of the family. And I'll tell you, it gets heavy. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it does. Amen. In the mouth, it's sweet like honey, but in the belly, it's bitter like wormwood. I'll tell you, it gets heavy. But oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a privilege it is. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to be able to share. Hallelujah. In all of those happenings, and to have these people thrown on your heart, that you could ask God to be merciful to them, God, and God restore their fellowship with, or whatever's been broken. Hallelujah. He'll purge out the rebels and them that transgress against me. God's doing the talking here. Hallelujah. He's not too interested with them that transgress against me. He's wanting them. He's after them that transgresses against him. Hallelujah. And I hope that we are of the same mind. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. They won't move in unless they are submissive. And that's just part of what I was doing. But unless they are submissive, well, they won't enter into this lofty calling that I'm telling you about. I'm closing, but I would like to call your attention to the 110th Psalm and the third verse. And there it says that God's going to have a willing people. There is a people in the womb of the morning. And as you read it there, you see. And I'm saying that's where we are. We're in the womb of the morning, awaiting the announcement of daybreak. Hallelujah. And God's going to unleash a mighty army in this world. He's going to unleash a mighty kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, and then those long, chronic ailments. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we'll all... Oh, blessed be the Lord. So, what are we saying? Are we saying that we have to put all of this off until then? Not at all. No, sir. We'll be acting out the kingdom because we are His kingdom. And we'll be doing this as we proceed toward the kingdom. I'm simply saying that with the unveiling of the kingdom, that it will begin in mass production. Because there's a lot of people to get delivered. Hallelujah. There may be some here tonight that needs deliverance and has come for special ministry. And if so, we'd be happy to minister to you, and along with the other ministry here, and just believe God as strong as we can for you. I've seen God do some mighty wonderful things. I really have. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your kind attention tonight. Hallelujah. And I pray that this word has been a blessing to you and will continue to bless you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Brother Miller has already made all the announcements for tomorrow. Hallelujah. And I believe that he signaled me to just go ahead and dismiss you. So we'll just let's just lift a hand, give the Lord another great big praise offering, and we'll be dismissed. And you come tomorrow. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.